So as I'm putting the podcast together, it seems we have had a technical difficulty and the first part of the podcast recorded differently than it should have, as in Ewan talks and then like a minute after Chris and myself talk, it gets put in. So the timing is all messed up, so I'm not going to put that in. It's just going to be, this week's episode will just be Ewan and I talking to Zach Mortimer of BP, and just the second part of the podcast, which is talking about Casey Jansen, the week ahead, and basically the wrap-up. Enjoy.
And welcome back to the Blue Jays Plus podcast. At this point, we are joined by Zach Mortimer, one of the prospect hounds underneath Jason Parks at Baseball Prospectus. How's it going, Zach?
Hey, guys. It's going well.
Awesome.
So, you've been sitting on some Jays prospects lately. Why don't you just break it down for us? Tell us some of the guys that you've seen.
I've seen, I saw actually, to start the season, my first coverage with BP was, my spring was in the Blue Jays, you know, jurisdiction. So I had the entire up and down this spring. So I got to see pretty much all of the, you know, impact talent that they had down in Dunedin. You know, and when we can look at it, it's almost, you know, how they plan on acquiring talent shows right there when you see it all up close, because they acquire guys that are high ceiling, but the floor's kind of low. Yep. And it's, you know, it could be great. It may never work. And that's, you know, when you really look at it, you can see it. It's like, man, if it all goes the right way, these guys are going to be awesome. But I can totally see it not going the right way.
Yeah, and we've seen many things not go the right way lately with most of their prospects flaming out with arm injuries. But so you saw Sean Nolan earlier this week, wrote him up. Why don't you tell us what we saw with him? Because he did not look too good in his major league debut, but still have faith.
I did. I saw Sean Nolan actually the start before he was about to the start before he received the promotion to the major leagues. I like Sean Nolan. And when I say that I like Sean Nolan, it's because what we just talked about how a guy has a high ceiling and a low floor, Sean Nolan is not that guy. Sean Nolan is more, you know, a safer bet. I really think he's a big leaguer. Maybe he's just a back of the rotation guy, but he has four pitches and he really knows how to pitch out there. I think maybe the promotion to the big leagues was a bit aggressive and, you know, based on the need, that's what they did. But I think if you give him a little more time, just a little more time to develop and maybe, you know, settle in at the big league level, you really have yourself someone who's going to be valuable.
And how far away do you think he's going to be? Will we be talking about him in September, say?
I thought what I saw was he still needed to just gain his composure and comfort and stuff. I think if he would have had a second start in the big leagues, it would have been better than his first. You know, the first time he probably was gripping it a little tight. You know, hey, as any, you know, 23-year-old kid, that's a pretty big promotion. You know, go right from double A to the big leagues. The second time probably would have been better than the first. But I do think he is on the radar for the end of this year.
The big problem with him during his major league debut was his secondary stuff. Do you have any concerns about that, or do you think it'll be fine?
I wrote up, you know, with our BP series, the new things we're doing with the eyewitness reports. We do the official scouting report, and I did strengths and weaknesses for him. My weakness for him was that he lacks a plus secondary offering. And if you don't have a plus secondary offering, it's really tough to get big league hitters off of your fastball. And, you know, it works hand in hand, the fact that they will be able to square up your secondary stuff.
That's not good.
No. Yes, you were talking about Tirado earlier. What is Tirado's first name?
Alberto.
Alberto. I was going to go with that, but wasn't sure. He is not starting the year in Vancouver, at least not initially what I saw, but you might have heard differently. What did you get on him?
I haven't heard where he's going to start the year, but I did see him in spring and I was really impressed. I was actually talking with Blue Jays assistant general manager Tony LaCava during a few of his starts, and they really like Tirado. They really like the steps forward he's made. The one the stuff's great, but before I get into that, the one thing that makes me a bit nervous with Tirado is that he has what we kind of like to call a head jerk. You know, when he goes to deliver the ball, his head sort of comes off, his viewpoint comes off of looking at the catcher, mm-hmm. which can be a real problem when it comes to command and things like that. The thing that I do like about him, though, is that the stuff is pretty big. He's got a fastball that can touch 95, has really good life down in the zone, a slider that was 82 to 84, and it was really sharp, easy potential plus pitch, a changeup that was 82 to 86, which, you know, it lacked a little bit of crispness at times, but it showed that it could be a potential plus pitch. All in all, that being said, Tirado is a long way away. He could be a number two. He may never make it out of Double A.
And you also mentioned Tyler Gonzalez. Is that the Gonzalez you're referring to?
Yes, I did see Tyler Gonzalez.
So he's sort of the back end of the top prospects in the 20 range for the Jays. What do you think about him?
I got you. He was a guy that was a little bit off my radar to start, and I saw him throw once, and I saw he had a little bit of arm speed and things like that, so I made sure I saw the next one. The major things I saw with him was the fastball was 91 to 94 with good plane. He had a good slider. The slider was legit. It had definitely easy six potential, so it could be more than a six pitch. So that's 84 to 87, really sharp break, some tilt. The changeup was 82 to 83. It was very inconsistent. The major problem with Gonzalez I saw was the fastball command was well below average currently. He's going to take a lot of polish, so I wouldn't worry about him right away. The fact is, as long as he can keep taking steps forward, then it's going to be good.
So one of the more interesting Jays prospects is Anthony Alford, who we drafted out of Southern Miss. And
out of high school.
Was going to remain and play football at Southern Miss. And then last year he had some issues at school and got basically transferred out of Southern Miss. So you've heard some stuff on him. He might be headed to Vancouver, I think.
I heard today, it's not confirmed 100% or anything, but I did hear that they're planning on sending him to the Northwest League to play with Vancouver, which would be great. You know, I couldn't see him this spring at all because he wasn't there, because he was still figuring out whether he wanted to do with football or whatever. And that kind of speaks, you know, as we get the Jays' thoughts on drafting and things like that. You know, Alford was a guy who he could be very good, but there's a lot of strings attached with a guy like that. How and when is he going to give up football? Is he going to ever focus on baseball full time? Will he ever be able to reach his potential because he doesn't spend enough time playing baseball?
I have big questions about him. I mean, I would understand if he was in a major college, but when you're a quarterback at Southern Miss.
Hey, Brett Favre was a quarterback at Southern Miss.
Well, that is a very good counterpoint.
No, but you're exactly right. He's when I saw, I did watch a little bit of college football, but when you look at Alford, he's not your NFL prototypical type quarterback. He's a dual threat guy, and his peak ceiling is probably college football. If he ever were to project to the NFL, it's going to be at a wide receiver / running back type flex position, if anything.
Heck, he's perfectly fit for the CFL. Have him sign with the Argos and pitch for the Jays, or play outfield for the Jays. I'm okay with that.
That would be something for you guys, wouldn't it?
Wouldn't be too bad. Go ahead.
Deck McGuire is, you saw him also. What is the case with him? He's top pick, number 10, I believe, or number 11 in 2010, and he has been this is his third, part of his third season in Double A. What is going on with him?
Deck, he's a really nice guy. Let me lead it off with that. Deck's a good guy. He's a nice guy. I've enjoyed talking to him a few times. A pleasure to talk to.
There's a big butt here coming.
When Deck goes on the pitching mound, I do not enjoy watching him pitch. His fastball is pretty straight at 86 to like 89. Ooh. He touched 91.
Oh no.
he had to nibble. I mean, when I tell you he had to nibble, we're in a low A spring training game, and if he didn't nibble, the guy was going to knock it about 450 feet because it's so straight, and that's not what we want. He does, the slider showed potential, maybe major league equivalency. I said if everything goes right, the slider's his best pitch. It's 82, 83, and it has some bite. The curveball he threw was just not there. It was just not good. It just wasn't a good pitch. He should probably not throw it anymore. I also question his athleticism. He really struggles to repeat his delivery. He lacks, which causes he doesn't have any command of pitches. He can't get comfortable. I honestly said he struggled really bad in 2012. I'd expect much of the same this year. And I think I'm correct so far by saying that. I also said maybe he can go to the bullpen and maybe his fastball is something more than it is as a starter.
After two straight years at AA, do you think they should be scrapping him as a starter and seeing what he's got out of the bullpen at this point?
I mean, some organizations develop people differently. If they think that he still has a potential to be a starter, then they have to stay with him there. I mean, they're trying to gain experience, but at some point you have to look at yourself in the mirror and say, hey, we kind of messed this up, and it might be better just to see what we have out of the bullpen.
So Marcus Stroman is finally back pitching, and after his 50-game suspension for Adderall, I believe, or whatever, supplements of some kind, non-steroid suspension. And, yeah, what are your thoughts on him? Because do you see him as a starter? Do you see him as a reliever? Because I think he could be one of the more faster-moving prospects we have.
Let me start this also by saying that I really like Marcus Stroman as a person, but the end result will be different than McGuire.
Excellent. Awesome.
I like Stroman. I liked him a lot. His fastball was 92-95. He had some serious some life to it. The plane, you know, he's a little guy, so the plane's not great, but it was better than I thought it would be for the size. The slider was one of the better sliders I've ever seen. It's 82-86, and it had some serious bite. We called it a plus-plus pitch, so that's a legit bat misser. The changeup was 82-85. He can overthrow it, but it's not something where I'm like, that'll never be usable. It's weird because one of my best friends, who really doesn't follow baseball much, was with me at the time when I saw Stroman, and he said, man, I don't know how this guy can be a starter. I said, you're right, because if you were just looking at it like that, I totally understand where you would just automatically put this guy in the bullpen. But for me, I think he has a chance to start, honestly. I think there's a possibility where he could be a starting pitcher. I'm not saying his long-term forever future is going to be as a starter. He could definitely wear down, and I could be completely wrong. But he's got a really compact delivery. He repeats it flawlessly. Very good athlete. Very, very smart, intelligent guy. Knows how to pitch. I expect really good things out of Stroman. I think he sticks as a starter. I could be way wrong on that, but I'm going to go out on a limb and say that's where I go with Stroman.
And what kind of timetable would you put on him as a starter?
As a starter, I'm saying he probably still needs the rest of this year and a majority of next year.
Okay.
Because the changeup still needs a lot of seasoning. I think it's there. I just think it needs some seasoning. If you want to go the other way, though, as a reliever, as a fastball slider guy, he could be in Toronto by the end of this year quickly.
We don't need that right now. Our bullpen's been outstanding, so... Yeah, shoot, Gideon, go ahead.
Have you seen A.J. Jimenez?
I did not see A.J. Jimenez. He was hurt in spring because I believe he had rotator cuff surgery or something.
Tommy John last year.
Tommy John. Yeah. But everything I've heard from him, from scouts about him, is that he's a very, very good defender. He'll hit more than enough for a backup, but they're not sure if he'll hit enough to be a regular.
Yeah, he's the guy getting a fair bit of buzz right now because Toronto's fairly sick of J.P.R. and Sevilla.
You guys don't like – I'm a big Tennessee fan. You guys don't like Aaron Sevilla. What, does he strike out too much?
I'm assuming since we were recording this beforehand, Gideon and I are going to have a long argument where he wants J.P. out of town. So I'm with you.
That's all right. You guys, at least you're not Royals fans.
At least we're not Royals fans.
Amen to that. on kind of a larger scale, one of the biggest concerns that Jays fans have is the propensity of our starters for getting hurt and having bad mechanics. In general, with all the Jays fans or the Jays pitchers that you've seen, do most of them have negative mechanics or more so than a different team, say?
I think maybe what you're running into is more of a fact of the type of player they draft as opposed to the mechanical issues. I think mechanics are something, you know, not everybody, you know, when everybody's drafted, a team tinkers with a player's mechanics regardless. Most likely it's not flawless from the high school level or the amateur ranks in, you know, Latin America. But the way the Jays are drafting, acquiring young talent, they're acquiring guys who really throw hard and really put a lot of stress on their arm, shoulder, elbow, because they really, you know, bring the velocity, have some serious snap, potential secondary pitches that are extreme. Therefore, I believe that may cause some of the injuries. It's, you know, injuries, as we talk about, it's a tough thing because sometimes it's just bad luck. Sometimes things just happen. But the Jays, I know, have ran into it, and I know Ozuna's got it, and it's going to eventually happen for him. I didn't mind his mechanics. I thought he was okay. But sometimes I would say as a whole compared to everyone else, I would look more at the player that they're acquiring as opposed to the mechanical issues.
Okay, just one draft question. You, when we were talking on Twitter, you mentioned that you like Phil Bickford, the Jays pick. So, want to just, I guess, expand on that a little bit?
I do, and I listened to you guys' podcast where you didn't like him at all, so I'm going to go after that. No, I'm just kidding. But I like Bickford, man. He's a young kid. He throws up to 98. I really like his pace to the plate. I know his arm can get a little offline at the back, and I totally see what you're saying. The slider I saw on a couple videos looked like it had some potential. I know it's not pristine, but I saw him throw a few that made me think, hey, that's usable. The changeup, of course, is nowhere to be found because he didn't need it, so I wouldn't say he has that.
No concern there.
Yeah, it can come with Bickford. I understand maybe you're a little worried because, you know, things haven't exactly gone perfectly.
That's
when it comes
big concern,
to,
yeah.
Right, I understand that, and that's a very legitimate concern. Things haven't gone the right way for you guys recently when developing pitchers. But, you know, think about this. You guys traded away Noah Syndergaard and Justin Nicolino, two guys that I absolutely love. And they developed them enough to get them to where they're at now. It's just that they're with another system.
Which is exactly what Chris said. If he, even though he was more down on it, or we were both down on it, but he was saying that if the plan is to develop them and trade them for higher prior guys, I'm perfectly fine with that. But we've just been scarred so many times that it's tough to get over it.
I know. Believe me, I started this whole journey working for a Royals website. That's why I brought this up, man. And if you guys think you're sad, just go look at some of the Royals stuff. They are sad people.
John Lamb, Mike Montgomery, Chris Flyer.
Yep. That's a good one. Yeah, that's
we
true.
Commiserate with Royals fans quite a bit, I think.
That's good. I hope you guys find. That's like an AL bonding session.
Exactly. And we're both on fire right now. So go Royals.
George Gutierrez.
Oh, and George Gutierrez plays for the Royals, so I'm fully on board.
Good. Hey, you guys haven't brought up my man Nessie yet.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, we're looking for catchers, so if you've seen Nessie, let us know.
Hey, I love Nessie. I put the flag in the ground, and I went with Nessie from the start.
This would be Santiago Nessie.
Santiago Nessie. Oh, I think, what is he, in low A?
No, I think he's in Lansing.
He's in low A. Right, he's with Lansing. Okay. Nessie was, you know, he was one of those guys on my spring trip where he just stuck out to me. I really, really, really liked the way he played. And, you know, I'll give you the end result here. He went to Lansing, and it hasn't been so great so far. But I'm not close to being ready to give up on him. He showed me some raw power. He had plus arm strength. And the major thing I don't understand what happened is I talked to a guy in Lansing and said he's having trouble receiving. He looked like a really good receiver in spring. He looked like he really had control back there. He had great leadership. When I mean great leadership, I'm talking like he was the number one leader on the field of anybody I saw all spring. It stuck out to me. He would talk to the third baseman in Spanish and then shoot something to the first baseman in English.
Oh,
all in the matter of a tenth of a second, I said, man, this guy's really got it. And as I grew up, I saw him, and I really compared him to Salvador Perez, the catcher for the Royals. I'm not sure, you know, he's not built like Perez. He's not that tall or anything, but he's kind of, you know, he's not really a runner. He's, you know, he's a catcher. He runs like a catcher, but he's strong. He's got some arm strength, but his major carrying tool may be the fact that he's a good catcher and he leads the team. Everybody looks for him, you know, to take them to where they need to go.
Are we looking at him as more of a, you know, division or second division starter or backup, or does he have more potential than that?
No, I thought he was a first division guy without question. The defensive ability and leadership intangibles alone will put him in the first division conversation. I thought the raw power is going to be enough, even if he hits for, you know, even if he's a 250 guy. He'll be a 250 guy who can slug around 450, 500, maybe more, and be plenty behind the plate.
Okay. In terms of the raw power and the 250 hitter, we're wishing JP was that. But in terms of his approach at the plate, which is the biggest issue we have with him these days, how does that go?
His approach, he's not a free swinger. Let's put it that way. He has an idea of what he wants to do when he gets up there. Could it be refined a little bit more? Yes, but he is still young, so therefore I'm not going to write him off on saying that he's going to be, you know, a nothing guy like Aaron Sebia is. I guess now I'm lowered to, you know, crack on my own boy. But, yeah, I'll admit that Aaron Sebia's approach has been a little lacking. So, no, Nessie, I believe, is much better approach than Aaron Sebia's will be.
Awesome.
Okay. Is there anyone else that we have not touched on who you've seen and has jumped out at you?
I guess the major guy, Aaron Sanchez.
Oh, yeah.
And we forget.
Our
top prospect.
and this is going to come out, and this is going to sound so bad almost, but Sanchez is so good, and there's something inside of me that says just proceed with caution. And I don't know what it is. It's the stuff is there. He's 94-97, really good life. The curveball was just really sharp, easy plus potential. Changeup has the easy solid average potential. It all works. He's a bit of a nibbler, and I didn't like that. It might have been just the times I've seen him, so I don't know that he has this total reputation as a nibbler, but every time I've seen Sanchez, I really just wish he would wipe people away like Noah Syndergaard did. Syndergaard would just go right at you. He didn't care. He was going to throw 97, and he was going to throw it right by you. He didn't really care what you thought about it. Sanchez sort of will work 96 and will nibble, and, you know, he's trying to expand. I wish he had more of the, not killer by the any, you know, negative terminology, but I wish he had a little more demeanor to just eliminate hitters.
Of the big three that we had, the Nicolino, Syndergaard, and
Sanchez. I was just going to ask this.
Do you think we kept the right one?
No.
Syndergaard?
Yeah. And yeah. I'm friendly with a lot of Marlins guys who compared Nicolino to a young Cole Hamels. So I don't know what that makes you want to feel like.
So would you have put Sanchez third in that group?
I wouldn't put him third. I personally still have him ahead of Nicolino. But I think that for me, Syndergaard, it was a Syndergaard, a minimal space, Sanchez, a bigger space than Nicolino.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Okay. Anything else, Gideon?
No, I'm good. Thank you so much. This is amazing.
Thanks a lot, Zach. We would love to have you back. Any more times you sit on some Jays? pitchers or prospects.
Hey, anytime you want me back, you let me know. I can. I'm always, you know, willing and ready to hold the flag for the younger generation here. I'm trying to, you know, keep it positive, not doing too many negative things, you know, trying to change the world.
So throw some plugs out. Where can they find your stuff?
You can find my stuff at Baseball Prospectus. I do the minor league update, which is a daily article just going through what happens with the box scores. I pretty much do a little bit of a recap. I do a little tool analysis on a player, really small. I've also started with Parks. We have this new eyewitness report series. I try to at least do two or three guys a week. I try to, you know, I'm always very good on Twitter. I'm at Zach Mort, ZachMort. And, you know, I'm always very friendly. If anybody has any questions about anything, please feel free to contact me.
Filling Kevin Goldstein's ample hats quite well, Zach. Thanks a lot.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys.
And we're back. Our music this week is from Queens of the Stone Age, who are by far my favorite band, and have their new album came out last week. And it is good. It's not necessarily my favorite of their albums, but I don't know. I'm a honk for them, and it'll probably grow on me. I've seen them live, I want to say, 6 times, and I think they're probably the 6 best concerts I've ever been to. They are touring Canada next month, and I can't recommend it enough. I will probably be busing down to Vancouver to see them at the Squamish Music Festival, and I can't wait for it because, oh my God, they're so great. On to the week ahead.
Could we just talk about something right now that's going on Twitter?
Go ahead.
Apparently ESPN saying that, I think it's Buster Olney, is saying that Casey Jansen should be traded.
I've heard, I listen to Kansas City radio from time to time, and he brought up Jansen last week on their show.
I am 100% fine with Casey Jansen being traded.
100%.
His value is that high it's going to be, and his shoulder is a mess.
And
I can't imagine he's going to stay healthy. We have closers, and closers are overvalued anyways. And if there's an overpayment, which there likely will be because it is a closer, I'd 100% be okay with this, especially also, for guys coming back, Andre Beck and Hutchison.
And one of the things that Olney mentioned when I heard him earlier this week is that there's essentially no closers on the market at all. Unless the Phillies decide to move Jonathan Papelbon, which, you know, rumor tomorrow is not selling, they're at the edge of contention. Jansen will probably be the best reliever on the market, and I completely agree.
The fact that he will be the best reliever on the market, even if we are back in it, I can't see Anthopoulos holding on to him. He's too big of a commodity to not trade.
Value for him. It could be something that Billy Beane frequently does, which is buy and sell at the same time. You know, there's no reason you can't sell Jansen and then either flip the prospects you get for Jansen into something else or trade other prospects for him.
Yeah, I would love to see that a little bit more out of Anthopoulos. The way he talks is, you know, he's not going to do any moves. Everything's going to be, you know, focused on this team, like the major league roster. He said the same thing last year, too, and he rebuilt the bullpen. Everything was, you know, major league roster. But it's like, you can still do both, so just like you said with Billy Beane there. And I completely agree with you guys about Jansen, too. Because, I mean, closer market, someone's going to pay just a stupid price for him. You have to take it.
Do you guys see that, I don't know what the Detroit SB Nation blog is. Do you see their article on Casey Jansen?
No, I did not.
But that would be a team that would stupidly overpay.
Yeah, it was a horrible article they were writing about how his shoulder is such a big concern that maybe it would be a C or B level prospect for Jansen, and the Jays are out of contention, and there's no way they're going to be back in it. There's no way they could be back, so they could definitely get him for cheap.
Yeah, because Anthopoulos is going to take a prospect from a team who has no prospects for Casey.
Aside,
give me a break. Come on.
That's insane. But, however, that would be a good matchup because the Tigers are known for taking, much like we heard from Zach, the high upside, low floor guys that the Jays always like. The Tigers are always stocked with those guys. Even if they are just big throwing guys who, you know, take flyers on. And I would like Nick Castellanos, but I don't think that would happen.
And if Jansen isn't traded this year, I can guarantee he will not be with the team come next August, because he's going to be a free agent after next year, and there's no way the Jays re-sign him, because Anthopoulos isn't going to pay over the moon for a closer.
God, no. Let's hope not.
And Brian Wilson is still not healthy.
Yeah, there was a
closer market. He's still nowhere close, from what I hear.
There was a question on the broadcast today. Someone asked the experts, and somehow Greg Zahn applied, whether the Jays should sign Brian Wilson. And he said, of course they should, because we need relief pitchers, because our bullpen stinks, apparently, which is not actually what he said. But
wait, Zahn said they need...
No, he said we should get him because what's the risk? And he's great. He's been awesome. If he's healthy, sign him.
On a minor league deal, why not?
I guess so, but...
I mean, yeah, on a minor
league... He's not taking a minor league deal.
He's not taking a minor league deal. And I don't like Brian Wilson because I think there's attitude problems there. He's a me guy.
Fit right in with Brett Lurie.
The beard shows that. Yeah, you can deal with one of those guys on your team.
Yeah, you don't need two.
No, two, and you don't need two if his talent is not where it once was.
Okay.
No thanks. On to the week ahead. I believe for the first time in Jays history, we will be facing the Colorado Rockies, who come to Toronto starting on Monday.
Today. Or, I guess, tomorrow.
Today, yes, because, you know, it's the future. I'm loading up here. Does anyone else have this ready?
Johnson's tomorrow, I think, against De La Rosa.
See, I thought he was held back yet again.
Again?
I thought that they were saying it's now been pushed back again, the whole blister.
How can they? Who would they plug in?
I could be totally wrong here. I may have read that wrong.
No, he was pushed back twice, Sunday and then to Monday, tomorrow.
Okay, so it is. Okay, so he is starting tomorrow.
Yeah, Jorge De La Rosa versus Josh Johnson tomorrow. Then... Canadian Jeff Francis versus staff ace Esmer Rogers on Tuesday.
Oh, another Steve McEwen special. More junk ball for Steve to watch.
Oh, and he loves some Colorado pictures.
Yes, he does.
And on Wednesday, Juan Nicasio versus Mark Burley. I'll be at that game.
God, it's all Steve all the time. Who's next, Gideon? Because you clearly
have it.
Friday, because we have Thursday off. Which is nice.
R.A. Dickey versus to be announced on the Orioles, because I don't have that. Do you have it?
I don't. Okay. So the Orioles come back in, and we need to stop Manny Machado from hitting more doubles, because he's going for the league record, which I would really like to see, because no one's made a run at that since Craig Biggio in the, I want to say, late 90s. But the Orioles are a really fun team right now.
It's going to be so annoying when Machado's on the Yankees in a few years.
Shut up. Like, you're...
I don't like you tonight, Gideon, with your damn negativity.
Yeah.
But they're going to be really good in, like, 2018 with Trout, Harper, and Machado.
And they're all going to be free agents at once. But, God, Gideon, like, go away.
Just trying to be realistic. There's no chance Brian McCann... going anywhere other than New York.
Whatever. Brian McCann always gets hurt. I'm okay with that. And he's a free agent this year. They don't have money. They don't have money.
They're spending money. Who cares? They said, no, we don't care about 189 anymore.
Man.
I guess they realize once you give Kevin Youkilis and Ichiro contracts, then you're not getting to 189.
That offseason makes no sense then. Why didn't they keep Russell Martin? Anyway, we are just droning on and on and on. And the show is going long already, so why don't we move it on to housekeeping? You can follow me on Twitter at Mentoc, MENTOCH. Someone go next.
You can follow me on Twitter at Gideon Turk, or at Blue Jays Plus, and like us on Facebook, Blue Jays Plus.
And you can follow me on Twitter at Sherlander6.
So hashtag glorious newly singles.
No, I changed it to glorious on base skills. That was all for you, Kadeen. I changed it after you wrote your article. I was hoping you'd notice that one.
I haven't.
So next week, I think we're trying to get Phil Bickford's high school coach on. And, yeah, we'll see what else we have. So, yeah, go Jays, go.
Expect